a special edition of Crave, the website, the podcast, the video cast. We've just sat down, Steve McCabe and I, having watched the very last episode.
The very last.
Of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
So this is an unprepared but spontaneous discussion.
Yes, the credits are still rolling on the TV as we speak.
About what we made of it.
Yes, so this is us actually digesting. So let us make it absolutely clear from the get-go, this is going to be spoilertastic.
Absolutely, yes.
Right, so if you've not seen Series 8, Episode 6, go undo something else right now. Ideally watch Series 8, Episode 6.
Yes, do that first.
Because everything is fair game here, isn't it? We will be discussing in great detail.
And I think given that probably half the world or three quarters of the world's population has now seen it.
It does seem that way, doesn't it, really?
Yes. I think we're pretty safe.
I think we're on safe ground. So, for the most basic question is, are we happy?
I am. There's always things you could quibble about, but I think, I am happy. I'm happy that they allowed this final episode plenty of time for the emotional weight of it to sink in for us, the audience.
Very much so, yes.
I think the story was as satisfying as it could be.
Yes.
I think not everyone will be happy that perhaps many people's favourite Jon Snow didn't quite get maybe the ending that you might have foreseen. He doesn't sit on the Iron Throne. In fact, there is no Iron Throne.
No, and I would like to point out I did kind of call that last week.
You did.
I did.
There was a lot of emotion to it, a lot of imagery, well thought out imagery.
Oh, yes. I'll come back to that in a few minutes.
And so, yeah, for me, yes, well done, I say. Well done. You?
Absolutely. There was no way it was going to simply wrap up very neatly with this character sitting on the Iron Throne. That was never going to happen. That was fairly obvious. We were talking last week about how you brought Bran back in. And, oh yes, they brought Bran back in very, very nicely. And none of the, well, he's really the Night King, none of that nonsense.
Yeah,
that didn't go anywhere.
No.
So it was really quite nicely done. Jon obviously had a job to do. And there was no way you could redeem him.
That's right.
After he'd done that job. Because it was something very, very crucial he had to do. So the way they resolved that, I thought was really well done. That he kind of got to be who he really wanted to be. Because we've seen in previous series where his sympathies really lay, in the North, and so having him effectively become the leader of the Free Folk, I mean, he was the only one on a horse, and he's earned their trust in the past,
and also you remember back to his first true love, Ygritte,
yes,
who spoke to him at length in those early seats, that season about the freedom that those people had,
yes,
and that obviously sank in, and so he wanted to do that. So it made sense for him to do that.
There was a lot of calling back to earlier series and tying in earlier ideas, and I thought that was done really, really nicely.
So we end with let me go back to the beginning, Steve. I thought the beginning of this final episode was pretty well done. They again gave plenty of time for the weight and the awfulness of what Daenerys had done to sink in, as we saw Tyrion walking through those desolate streets, no music playing, and you could feel the weight of it, couldn't you?
Well, I was thinking to myself, that must have been what it was like in Hiroshima, shortly after.
Yeah.
The dragon basically is the nearest thing you've got in that setting to a nuclear weapon, and the person who wields it has the absolute power. And it was absolutely haunting, wasn't it? You the one fellow sort of walking past, his back's burned off, he's just confused.
Yes.
Bewildered with no idea. And you have to figure that Tyrion was probably thinking something much the same. Like, No, I have no idea.
No.
Yeah.
And then we have him go in and a really powerful scene of him finding his brother and sister.
Yes.
I thought that was very well handled. I'm not sure whether we've at any stage in any previous episode of this entire program had we seen Tyrion sob like that.
No.
I don't think we had, but we certainly did on this final
episode. He's a man who's always been able to brush off anything resembling emotion.
Mm.
So that was quite shocking. The fact that Daenerys turned on him the moment he questioned or challenged her was not shocking.
No. Because I think she'd sort of... She was beginning to have very, very serious doubts about him, wasn't she, in the previous episodes of this last season.
And she's a woman who would clearly tolerate no dissent.
Yes.
It was my way or you get executed.
Yeah.
She was not a patient and forgiving woman.
And then we had Steve, in many ways, it was the most pivotal scene in this final episode. You already talked about it in our... when we chatted before we started recording, was the speech Tyrion gives to Jon when Tyrion is kept prisoner.
Yes.
And it's Tyrion's last chance to, in effect, to try and talk some sense into Jon, make him realise what he has to do. It has to be him to end Daenerys' rule.
Yeah, because at that stage, I think Tyrion, you kind of got the impression, was resigned to the fact that his days were over.
Yeah.
But on his way out, he was going to try and do something good before he died.
Yeah.
It wasn't about him anymore.
Yeah.
And it's one of the first times when he's actually been genuinely selfless.
Yeah.
Is, I'm dead, but, you know, I don't want other people to live through my mistakes.
Yeah.
So we've got that. That was an astonishing scene. Peter Dinklage is an amazing actor.
Yeah.
And he pulled that scene off quite remarkably. Prior to that, though, we have Daenerys and her Nuremberg moment.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Where you've got an amazing set piece scene.
Yeah.
Where outside what remains of the Red Keep, you notice the big Targaryen, thank you. Banner hanging from the side. And you've got the military ranks lined up. And out she comes. There was one moment when I thought the show was about to completely jump the shark.
Oh?
You know, when the dragon wings appear behind
her? Oh, yes.
I think, oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
And then they recover very, very quickly. Yes. And that was an astonishing scene. And you combine that with the next bit, the conversation that Tyrion has with
Jon Snow.
Jon.
Yeah.
And then you've got the conversation that Jon has with Daenerys.
Yes.
And you feed those three into each other. Yeah. And you realise that there was nothing else that Jon could possibly have done.
No. And I think that I know the stony-faced Jon Snow. I think somehow with behind that grim visage, I detected his inner turmoil. And I think I think Kit Harington did a pretty good job, actually.
Yeah. He's not always been the heaviest of heavyweight actors, to be fair.
No, but he's had a long time to grow into this role.
I mean, to be fair, it's not...
They all have.
But... It shouldn't be on the job training, fair. No.
But anyway, I thought he gave us a sense of the turmoil he was going through.
He did, because you could tell, he was like, on the one hand, it was, I've got to be loyal to my queen. Yeah. But on the other hand, holy... Yeah, if this is what being loyal to my queen looks like... Then
and he did that knowing it was probably, in his mind, it was going to cost him his own life.
Quite possibly, yes.
And that there would be a price to pay for him doing that. But he felt he had to do it.
Absolutely.
So that was a very powerful scene.
It was.
Yeah.
So everything leading up to the destruction of the Iron Throne, I thought was all but flawless.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I hear a little butt coming.
Well, if we're being completely analytical about this.
Yeah, go on.
Right? We then have the sort of the Council of the Kingdoms,
mm-hmm.
which you kind of have to buy into.
Yeah,
a little.
The only thing that, as we approach that scene of the Council of the Kingdoms, we see Tyrion being escorted.
Yes,
and it was obvious his beard was a lot longer.
Yes,
so we knew some time had passed.
Yes.
But nevertheless, it was a little bit of a shock, wasn't it? A bit of a surprise. Oh, but it felt a little bit out of left field in a way.
Yeah. And also, a curious, it's kind of like a, you know how if you think back to Star Trek,
you would
always have the main characters doing all the stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you'd wonder why they'd always have to have the ship's doctor going down on the away missions,
right?
Because he's a named character,
yeah.
And there's a little bit of that going on here as well. Why was Brienne of Tarth there?
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to be a member of the Queen's Guard or the King's Guard. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, it made sense that Samwell was there.
Yes.
And it was nice to see Robin Arryn.
Yes.
Finally grown up.
Yes.
And so those people made sense.
Yes.
But both Stark sisters, you only needed one.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a little bit of fan service.
There
going
was
on
a bit. Yeah, there was.
Just a little.
Yep.
And then what was really interesting was you went from. What's his name? Grey Worm.
Mm.
Basically saying that Tyrion gets to have his last words before he dies.
Yes.
And then suddenly Tyrion gets to do this lovely speech anointing Bran.
Yes.
Didn't... I mean, you,
no,
you,
no, you're right.
You have to make the choice to buy into that.
Yeah, you do. Because we were sitting there, I think the thought was in all our minds, well, how come Grey Worm has the authority to say that? Who
yes.
Where does he... I mean, okay, he was, before Daenerys died, yeah. he was declared, was it the general commander?
And something like that,
so
yeah.
maybe he had some military authority. Well, but,
so basically what you're looking at is the potential for a military coup here.
Yeah.
As opposed to a peaceful civilian yeah. transfer of power.
Yeah. So and then the other leap there was that Grey Worm accepted
yes.
that the council could choose.
He did accept that remarkably quickly.
Yeah, and that, so yes, you're right. There were a few corners turned in that sequence.
Yes.
That, obviously, the storytellers felt we need to advance it to this next stage
yep.
and we have to
yep.
shoehorn a few things in along the way. Yeah, it didn't quite sit as smoothly as the rest, I agree
no.
with you. But it was Tyrion's speech there again was a great speech.
Yes, it was. and if you remember last time we talked about this, I was saying, like, bring Bran back into it,
yes.
but do it coherently.
Yeah.
And I genuinely didn't know how the hell they were going to pull that off.
No.
And I think this was about as neat and as elegant a way yeah. as it could have been yeah. done.
Because we were talking, I think during the week, that about Bran's worth and value. And he said, in I think the last episode of the one before, he said, all I can do is look back or something
yes.
like that. I live my life in the past.
Yeah, something like that.
And,
yeah.
and it was like, well, what's okay. So what is there left for you to do? What is your role
yes.
here? And Tyrion, through his speech, absolutely lays out what that role is.
Yes.
He is the living librarian of all that has happened before, and the
yes.
person to whom people will turn when they're looking for the meaning of what's gone on here.
And of course, it turns out that the actual librarian, and I've been saying this for a long time,
come on,
and I feel validated here.
Yes,
guess who wrote A Song of Ice and Fire?
Yeah, they said it and I didn't quite.
Yeah, no, but it was Samwell Tarly.
It was Samuel, okay.
Yes, who
someone else had
yeah.
started
yes,
it?
Yeah,
right?
yeah, Master Aegon, Master
right.
Aemon.
Right.
Master Aemon, I beg your pardon. But it was clear. I've been saying for ages that basically Sam Tarly is George Martin.
Ah, right.
And I actually thought he was going to play a more prominent role.
Yes,
in the pulling together of things, but I wasn't surprised to see him presenting
yeah,
a Song of Ice and
it was
Fire.
Also a little bit of a cute touch, but
it was because you needed it at the. I mean,
yeah, but then yeah, there is that. Yes,
it was a kind of an exhausting episode.
Yes, and so they obviously felt we need to have a little bit of a light, as you say, a little bit of humour at that point,
just a little,
give
bit.
Us a bit of a breath and
yeah.
lighten it up a bit, and then they headlong into this. Again, a very powerful sequence of farewells and
yes.
the characters shifting on the board and to where they're going to go.
Yeah.
Not much dialogue. Some
no.
nicely constructed scenes. I thought
yeah.
the farewell between Arya and Jon was particularly hard-hitting emotionally. I have not for some time found Sansa a particularly heartwarming character, but given what had happened to her, that's not perhaps surprising within the context
no.
of the story.
No, she started off, you remember, as a sweet, innocent, silly little
yeah,
girl.
Yeah.
And they have hardened her.
Oh, have they what? Yeah.
Quite nicely. And yeah, I mean, you shouldn't have to do things like that to a woman to make her into an interesting character.
Well, yeah.
But the truth is that did take her to where she is.
Mm.
And now she's Queen of the North.
Yeah, and then John, Steve, I'm going to call you John. You look at, well, you've got the beard. It's
what, yeah, yeah. John's my dad.
Okay. In the final sequence, we have, you know, Daenerys is gone, she's dead. The ruling council, Bran is there, he's the new king, the council's around him. And we have this final sequence intercutting with the other Starks, who the story basically started with way back in season one.
Yes, it did.
Intercutting... Sansa, Arya, and Jon on their new paths.
Yes.
Nice bit of editing there.
Yes.
And finishing, as we said, right in the north, which is where the very first episode started.
Yes, you did point out the symmetry
yeah,
of that, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and which seemed like a nice touch. So, it was, yeah, there are some quibbles there, especially, I agree with you, in that middle section. But overall, there was a lot of emotional punch to it. It sat well.
Right.
I thought, you know what I mean? It didn't feel too rushed. They took their time.
Oh, no, it was...
But there was 8 or 9 years here for the whole audience watching.
Yes.
All our memories of what had happened before to try and sort of sit there and just come to a fruition and for us to feel...
Right.
Oh, okay, this
right.
is what's happened.
Right. Well,
now,
having said
on.
That, the big clanging misstep.
Go on. Yes?
Bronn.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Actually, I was wondering at one point, where was he? And he just nips back at the end. Yeah.
Where was he? What was he up to last time we saw him?
Well, the last time we saw him, remember, he'd come up north.
Yep.
He said, Cersei has sent me up here to kill you two.
Yep.
But I need a better offer if I'm going to keep you alive.
Yep.
And he says, I'm going to go away, but I'll be watching you. Doesn't he say something like that?
Yeah.
I'll keep my eye on you two or something like that. And I'm not quite sure where he said he was going after that.
No, but next thing you see, he's now been made up to Lord of Highgarden.
Which Tyrion did promise to him.
Yeah, but still, he promised him under duress.
He did.
And he now sits on the Small Council.
Yeah.
That felt a little bit too nice.
That was one. That's a bit like the Song of Ice and Fire thing. It's a little bit of a cutesy little thing.
It was a little bit of fan service because Bronn is a fantastic character who has been a wonderful bit of light relief all the way through.
He has.
And we've really enjoyed him.
Yeah.
So I get that.
Yeah.
It just felt a bit too easy.
A little bit trite, yeah. And what did you think of the sequence with Brienne writing that entry about Jaime? She did it well. I thought she played it out well. But again, could come under a bit of fan service there.
In other hands,
it
would have been cheesy. I think that Gwendolyn Christie is enough of an actor.
Yeah, I agree.
That she made it work. And we've also believed in that relationship enough over the series that they pulled it off. It could have been tweaked.
Yeah. No, but I like the way she did that.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
So that's it, Steve. It's over.
It is, isn't it? here's the next thing. I've actually started reading the books again. I read the first book, A Game of Thrones, a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
And I started now reading the second book, whose name escapes me.
Okay.
And I'm going to be curious to see how much has been left out.
Yeah.
Because we did have one thing that was talked about an awful lot among the various, I mean, let's face it, there's been massive punditry about this all across the internet. One thing that people have harked back to is Melisandre's prophecy that Arya would kill, what was it? Blue eyes, brown eyes, and green eyes.
Yes.
And she didn't. That was kind of nicely allowed to fall away.
Right.
In the books, apparently, and I've not reached this point yet, but she also makes a prophecy about the prince that was promised.
Right.
Azor Ahai or something like that.
Okay.
And we've been reading a lot about this in the various commentariat that we see online. And again, I think somebody had obviously made a decision. We could only cram so much in.
Yeah.
And so we're going to completely let go of that.
Yeah.
There's the Lady Stoneheart character that I will read the books.
Okay.
And you'll find out more about that.
Well, I think generally, Steve, we've noted, I'm sure, and I think many people have in this last season, we were well beyond where the books were, a feeling of this last episode aside, they've picked up the pace a lot. They've tried to advance the plot.
Yep.
They've gone quickly from one big moment to another big moment. They haven't loitered as long as they used to in the early seasons.
No, not so much.
They've just needed to get on with it and they needed to process the story.
Yeah. So there's always going to be a case in places like this where you've got enormous, massive galaxy of characters.
Yeah.
They have to make a decision. Well, there's clearly a thread here. We're going to have to, we can trim it out and we can do the story without pursuing that particular character's arc. And they obviously had to do that.
Yeah.
So what I'm interested to see now is what did they leave out? That's where I'm going next.
Okay. But I felt watching it, this final episode, I had that thought, we're spending most of our time here with Tyrion and Jon, Daenerys when she was there. Primarily.
Yes.
But I felt okay with that. I felt that was where most of us had our emotional investment.
Yes.
Especially as earlier in, so all those other characters had been killed off earlier in this program. So I'm glad they didn't split off too much and spend time this final episode trying to tie up every loose end with every character. That would have been the wrong way to go.
Well, fortunately, they killed off most of them already anyway, which is good.
But so I would give them pretty high marks. I mean, we could. You're right. You can analyze it and find some faults. But I think emotionally it was satisfying, and at the end of it, I felt good about it.
I'll go along with that.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. We have been led along. It was Daenerys' story.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Game of Thrones has always been about Daenerys Targaryen's descent into madness.
Yeah.
Everything else ultimately has revolved around that in the end.
In terms of the story, I think that's right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's necessarily where the heart and soul of the story was all the time. I know we've been hearing, as you said, the commentary in recent times, especially after last week's episode, Steve, that people were so upset that Daenerys had turned out the way she was, and some of them named their children after her and all sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think there would be another group of the audience who would have been with Snow and the Starks right from the beginning.
But also, let's remember, you know, Tyrion in that fantastic speech we've been talking about laid out very clearly that she's been doing very, very bad things.
Yes.
Let's face it, since the very end of the first series, that's when she killed her first... If you remember the witch,
who she
chained to Drogo's funeral pyre.
That's right.
That's when it started.
Okay.
And all the way through, as Tyrion said, we were always willing to forgive it because it was always done in the cause of good and it was always done against evil men.
Yes.
But increasingly, she's getting to decide who's good and who's evil.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so ultimately, it was a song of Daenerys.
Okay, I'll buy that.
And I think on that level, I think it's been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And so now, as you say, we can go back and read the books.
Yep.
There are apparently going to be other spin-offs going back and telling earlier stories about the children up north.
The children of the forest,
The forest and so forth. So that's something to look forward to. But the main story is done.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it overall. I think it's been brought a really high standard of production, of acting, of script writing. It's been an adult fantasy series,
yes,
no holds barred.
Yes.
It's set a bar, a very high bar.
Oh, yes.
For anything that has to follow.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to recommend it.
Yes. We're going to miss it, aren't we?
Oh, we are going to miss it.
So I reckon about 5 years' time.
Yep.
Go back, download the whole lot.
Yes.
And binge watch all, 70-some episodes now, yeah.
That would be an interesting thing to do, actually.
In about 5 years' time.
Yeah.
When it started to fade. Mm. And then go back and watch... Watch Daenerys from the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing what you know about her now, watch.
Yeah.
And you'll see how she got there. It's going to be fascinating.
All right, fantastic.
So in the meantime, right, we start off this podcast saying everything's been entertaining you and me recently. And let's face it, for the last, how many years is it now?
Is it? Well, they had a year's break. So it's season 8, so it's 9 years.
So this is what's been entertaining you and me, at least. You and me, and about 3 billion of our closest
that's
friends.
Right, that's right.
For the last 9 years.
Yeah, fantastic.
So seriously, that is what has been entertaining me and Simon recently.
Sure has.
Dracarys.